All right, people, I'm gonna get this out real quick because I promised this to you last night. And for the love of, I don't know what happened, but I had the session all prompt and ready to go last night. And I got ready to publish it, and for some reason it didn't take. So I'm gonna knock this out real quick because I gotta get another edition up for you guys. And I try to keep my word on what I'm gonna do. So where did I end off last night? You know what? And my mind is refreshing itself. The first topic I want to talk about, and I actually sent the article. Well, I made a post on my Twitter account, The Fly Zone One. Last night, yesterday, a three-year-old was shot and died from his injuries in St. Louis. This is breaking news that I saw maybe about 4 or 5 p.m. And what's even more shocking is that this is the 20th child in St. Louis that has died in this fashion so far this year. Now, we're almost in October. October is the 10th month of the year, as you all know. And if your math is good, if you take 20 divided by 10, that's 2. So literally, there are 2 babies a month dying in St. Louis. Now, as I scrolled through the internet trying to do some more research on this, I saw articles pop up here and there. But my God, why isn't this a national topic? Why is this something that, you know, the administration of this country isn't stepping in to see what the hell is going on in St. Louis? It's sad. My heart goes out to the families of those children that was lost. I mean, these are babies, man. Babies. And it makes no sense. Something is going on in St. Louis. Now, there are 3 men on trial right now, headed to trial, for the death of the 9-year-old boy in Chicago, okay? And you have children who, you know, in Chicago, who have been injured by gunfire, but there are babies dying at a steady rate in St. Louis. St. Louis isn't even as large of a city as Chicago per capita. Something is wrong down there, and it needs to be investigated. It needs to be looked into. Like I said, my heart goes out to the families. You know, my condolences. You know, prayers be with you. You know, it's got to be hard. It's got to be hard. A 3-year-old. You know, look on the web. I posted the most recent thing that the most recent article or news that was put out there was a Facebook post. I mean, you know, of the news media out there. But, you know, and I saw the one flash. But it's like 20? 20? I mean, at least this should have been considered some sort of, you know, social epidemic at 15. Yeah, it's just sad, man. It's just sad. But, you know, once again, you know, my condolences, my heart goes out to the family of these children. And it's just senseless. Someone needs to look into this. I mean, this should be a national topic. You know, you guys let me know what you think about this, and maybe if you found something, let me know, and, you know, I'll create a special segment for it, you know, informing, you know, everyone else, and, you know, it's just sad. Moving on to the Democratic debate last night, I did watch it. I didn't watch it in its entirety, but I watched about a third of it, and I believe it was a real well-rounded conversation. I like the responses from Joe Biden. I like the responses from Kamala Harris. And I especially took note to Joe Booker's response on education, as well as Bernie Sanders. But it was on different aspects of education inequality amongst the poorest schools in America. And I like Joe Booker's method in addressing this, you know, and how he pointed out that he was the only candidate on that panel who's been to an impoverished schools, who's lived in public housing. I myself grew up in public housing. I grew up in public housing in Chicago, Illinois. Okay, and I know what it's like to live in public housing. I know what it's like. I come from the Robert Taylor Homes in Chicago, Illinois. And it's you see life-changing events, you know. I went to impoverished schools. And what's interesting was, it was something that I already knew, how schools of minorities or African American children, along with Latinos, receive less funding than those schools of white children, the Caucasian children. And it's something we've known for quite a while now, but you know, it's just looking at the debate and listening to them talk on these topics, you know, for me was like, it's like with Miss Harris. I love her statistical prowess. I love how, when I heard of her interview on The Breakfast Club, you know, she knows her numbers, you know, and whether it be, I don't want to use the term selling point in politics, but she's running for office, okay? She needs to know these facts. She's addressed these facts. I think that every time she's asked a question in regards to these facts, to these numbers that she knows, she answers very well. I listen to Joe Biden, and I like a lot of what Joe Biden had to say. Bernie Sanders, he's been sticking to his guns. I like the comments that he had to make as far as relieving student debt, you know, and making public colleges. I think that's something that, because the more educated a person is, the higher chance and percentage, the higher chance that this person will do well in life, obtain gainable employment, maintain an income, a steady income to raise a family, you know, all those things. Education is a big part of it. Education is a big part of what shapes our society. There was a point, and I wish what I had to publish yesterday. As I said, my mind is refreshing this morning, guys, so, you know, be patient with me. I thought about listening to the Democrat debate. I thought about, you know, what this country was founded on. And that was another thing they touched on with immigration. You know, all the principles that this country said that it's been founded on, we seem to be losing a lot of those fundamentals. And this isn't just a now thing. You know, this has kind of been a work in progress. You know, but now it's almost coming to a head with all the things that are going on, with so many different aspects. And, you know, America's changing. America has changed and it's constantly changing. But, you know, another topic too that I find, that myself I hold personally, is the environment. Hey man, I recycle. You know what I mean? I recycle. And I always say this and I use it, you know, jokingly, but I'm also serious. You know, I'm from the inner city. I've lived in inner cities my entire life. But in school, when I was in the Chicago public school, we were taught about recycling. We were taught the benefits of recycling. And I love to recycle, because after you stayed around, for me, and this is just for me, when you stayed around impoverished neighborhoods and your situation tends to get a little better, I mean, that whole time you're like, man, why do I have to live like this? You know, it is what it is, but it's like when you gain the awareness of being able to contribute to that not happening, or find a way to make things better than you do. And one part of that for me is recycling. You know, I always recycle. I like to recycle. You know, we can say recycling is like renewable energy. You know how many products and materials can be made from recycling? I mean, it's just astonishing. I don't know why they don't make recycling a law. You know, hey, well, I know why. Big money, special interest group, but blah, blah, blah. You know, that's just my opinion. But those who know and share that opinion, we already know. But you would think for the good and the benefit of the world, or at least this country, we would make recycling a law somehow, you know. But yeah, you know, global warming, you know, I believe in it. You know, the earth has, in its billion years of existence, gone through changes and transitions. That's without a doubt. But what we are seeing on a global scale is the effect of global warming and what it's actually doing to the environment itself. It's like a chain reaction. You're seeing polar ice caps melting, which affects other environmental balances, like the fish, the which they live in a certain temperature of water, and they start dying because the water is too warm. Or we're seeing more current and frequent episodes of tropical storms and hurricanes at a higher category. Now the top is Hurricane 5. God forbid we ever see a Category 6. God forbid. And the crazy thing, Bahamas. Now I'm going to talk about this in the next segment because I just want to finish this off from last night. But the Bahamas is about to be hit again, but this time with a tropical storm. I mean, people, wake up. Wake the blockity block block up. All right, I'm gonna keep that clean. But wake up. You can believe all that hoax and no, it's not. We've got cooler summers. I mean, the evidence is all there. You just got to choose to see. We only got one Earth. I don't care what side of the spectrum you live on, what neighborhood you're from, how well affluent you are. When this big spinning globe ball of people and soul is gone, is it? Lights out. Game over. Ain't no coming back. No reset. No nine lives. You know what I mean? It's it. What are we leaving? And even if it doesn't happen in our time or our generation, what are we leaving for, our descendants? It makes it just, people wake up. Do your research. Do your research. But all in all, like I said, I was satisfied and I was pleased with, what I saw from some of the candidates. I don't know enough about all of the candidates, which I need to, inform myself more of. But the few that I do know about and I have, followed them, I was satisfied up until this point with what they had to say and their responses and what their goals are should they be elected, to office. So it's a good thing there. People, I can't say enough, if you're not into politics or, get into politics. You don't have to be, politically savvy, but get to know who your representatives are. Get to know, what their function is, even at the lowest level, city government. And especially parents, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, those teens who will be turning 18 in 2020 and have the right to vote. Explain to them, if you have this information, what that means. Explain to them how this process works. They're going to need to know. They're going to need to know. Because their vote matters and it counts. And they need to understand that. They do need to understand that. So have that conversation with them. Sit down. I talk, some of my peers and constituents, I get on their nerves when it comes to, I'm kind of gung-ho when it comes to, but I'm not sharing my opinion. I'm always cordial about it, and I appreciate and respect other people's opinion as long as we can have that civilized tone of conversation. Because anything else than that, I'm departing. I'm bowing myself out because that's not a beneficial situation. It's not what I'm looking for. But yeah, talk to your people about politics. Share the wealth of information about that. All right, moving right along, so I can wrap the segment up and get you guys something fresh going on the stove in the oven. Yeah, that was a mention. Well, as we all know, mostly Stephen A. Smith was on The Breakfast Club yesterday. One of the questions that Charlamagne the God asked him was about how he felt when people call him a sellout. And Stephen A. pretty much said, they can kiss my ass. The critics kiss my ass. Now, I don't know what Stephen A. has done or behavior he's what kind of behavior he's shown to make people feel this way, because I haven't followed him that much. I know some things about him. I don't know his entire history. I don't know, so I'm a little depleted on information, for lack of better words. You know, it's something that I miss. I mean, send it to the Fly Zone One. You know, send me a message. You know, email me. You know, g7world@gmail.com. That's g7world@gmail.com. Shoot me a message on my Anchor account. You know, let me know. I do know that Willie D had some very choice words for him, and I'm going to post that on my Twitter feed for him, saying in so many words that you're only as good as, you know, you're tearing other people down, and his words for Buttermilk Biscuits, and you're only as good as your contributions to your culture, your community. So pretty much you don't have the right, and it's just, you know, and I will post, I have by way of one of my affiliates over who has a page on Instagram, Milwaukee County 414. But it was interesting to see Willie D say that. I'm like, wow, you know. And if you know Willie D, you know, original member of the Ghetto Boys, always been a political activist. There's a lot going down there in Texas, you know. Jay, we all know Jay Prince, how he, you know, what his dealing with politics is and how he feels about, you know, politics as in regards to us. But I think that the points that Stephen A. made, and like I said, regardless of, I don't think his logic on that matter should be alienated because of his past behavior, because it's true. You know, in my opinion, at least, it's true, because if you are an athlete, okay, first and foremost, if you've made it to be a professional athlete, you've made it to a place where those who have worked hard as you may not even make it or haven't made it. Those who would want to make it in order to support their families, you know, to get out of a situation there, to do what they love, and to sacrifice all that for a personal vice just doesn't, the math for me isn't there, you know what I mean? The math for me isn't there, you know? And especially those of our culture, it's like, you know, come on. You know, a lot of us grew up impoverished, and, you know, you make it out the hood, you make it out the ghetto, out of the inner city, and you have this opportunity to give back, to help those who are less fortunate than you. Now you have those resources. You can do so many things, but to jeopardize all that over, and even, you know, if you're gonna do it, I mean, we hear about athletes getting busted for, you know, just regular PEDs, you know, all the time, but it's like, you know, why? You know, like he said, he's in corporate America. You know, there's certain limitations to things that, you know, you should be doing, especially as a professional. You're a professional now, you know. You have to make your choices now, to each his own. Men are going to do what they want to do. Individuals are going to do what they want to do at the end of the day. But I think that he had a valid point. I think that he was good, giving out good advice. He's, like he said, he's not a sellout. He's looking out, because he really doesn't have to say anything. You know, he can let people hang themselves and just, you know, because he's going to continue to make his money, you know. So it's interesting that, you know, how people, you know, like I said, I don't know his past behaviors. I don't know his past actions that led people to say, man, he's a sellout, he's an Uncle Tom. You know, I don't know. You know, I plan to look a little more into it, but still, you know, that's other people's opinion. I may not make that opinion of him, depending upon what his reasoning of judgment was, you know. So I don't know, it's very interesting. But, you know, that's it. I'm wrapping up this segment. Like I said, I had this recorded last night. I wanted to have it published last night because it was supposed to be part two, but, you know, I had to do an early buyback. I'm up. I got to make some more material right now in a few minutes. I wanted to get this out here, so this is the part two for the edition, because I wanted to give you guys what I promised. I'd like to be a man of my word. All right, well, hope your day is prosperous. Look out for this next segment, episode of the Fly Zone, segment of the Daily Dose. This is Mr. M.I.A., the Black Badger, North Mill for real. You're tuned in to Anchor Radio. You can also send me a message. As I said, guys, let me know, you know, how you feel about it. Share this podcast. You know, if you own a podcast, you know, get in contact with me. Get up with me. You know, I love to do a show with you guys. You know, I talk about many topics, you know, a variety of things, you know, and it's something that I very much enjoy and welcome with open arms. So you guys know how to reach me. you know, G7World@gmail.com. Hit me at the Fly Zone, at the Fly Zone 1 on Twitter. Or send me a message through Anchor Radio/Mr. MIA. You guys have a good one. I'll be right back at you. Keep it 100. This is Mr. MIA. I am out.